Welcome to Dollars and Cents, the program that tries to help your dollars make a little more sense. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank better. And we are very pleased to have back in our studio Agbara Bryson, who is here to talk about the legacy of his great aunt Annie Malone, America's first black millionaire. And he is joined by two people who are taking up the mantle to make Annie Malone's story known across the nation. Dr. Chawana Trawick is the endowed chair at Lindenwood University in St. Louis, the director of a documentary on the life of Annie Malone, and she is joined by the videographer for that project, Ben Sholley, also a professor at Lindenwood University. Thanks for being on Dollars and Cents.
Thank you very much.
Tell me about the importance of this project.
So this project is very important because I wrote my dissertation on Annie Malone back in 2011, and one of my mentors, Dr. John Wright Sr., spoke to me about working on a book about Annie Malone's history based on my dissertation. And so 10 years has gone by, and I have not worked on the book yet. So things were pretty much aligned where when COVID hit, it was actually a blessing because I had a little more time to just think about things, and, you know, trips were canceled, a lot of things were closed. So I decided to work on a book, a children's book, got a series of children's books on Annie Malone. From that Instagram site, Mr. Bryson reached out to us. We connected, and that's where it all happened. So before Mr. Bryson at work, they talked to us about doing research projects together, cross-curricular research. And so they said, if you want to be a part of it, put your name here. I wrote my name down. Ben Sholley saw it. I don't know if I reached out to Ben or Ben reached out to me.
I can't remember either.
I can't remember. And so he said, this project sounds really interesting. I would love to work with you on it. So I said, okay, let's get started. So again, nothing really happened. We were just like, okay, we wrote down a few things, had like one conversation about it. And then Mr. Bryson reached out to me through our social media. And when I found out about that, this opportunity, I said, hey, Ben, do you want to go down? He said, yeah. So it's very important. I'm trying to go back to the question.
Right.
So it's important because Annie Malone's
well,
history.
Wait. Yeah. It's important because now you get to follow through on a promise you made. You get to keep your promise.
I do. But it's like finally her story gets to be told from my perspective, I would say.
And Agbara, this is kind of like a dream come true for you because this takes what you were doing to another level.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does. And, you know, it's such a pleasure to meet someone. Actually, when I wrote my book, I used her research for it, but never dreamed that I would meet her. So, yeah, this is a dream. This has been a great experience today. We're learning a lot. We're sharing a lot. Her book really complements my book because her book is the ABCs of Annie Malone, which covers the elementary component, and my revised book covers the 8th through 12th grade. So, yeah, been a blessing.
And for our listeners, let's back up a bit and make sure that we are not assuming that people know who Annie Malone is. Annie Malone, considered to be America's first black female millionaire, the mentor to Madam C.J. Walker. A lot of people think Madam C.J. Walker was that person with her hair care products, but a lot of people don't know that Madam C.J. Walker learned her craft from Annie Malone.
Absolutely, yep. Annie Malone, Madam C.J. Walker, borrowed the business concept and products and was just as successful as Annie Malone. And Madam C.J. Walker, most people know. Annie Malone, most people are unfamiliar with.
And you were not happy with a recent movie that came out about Madam C.J. Walker, where Hollywood took some liberties. They kind of adjusted Annie Malone's name. I think the lady was Fanny DeHone or something. I don't know what it was. But and kind of portrayed her as like this villainous person who Madam C.J. Walker had to escape from in order to do her business. You didn't like that. A lot of people didn't like that. Linda Nance, who's with the Annie Malone Foundation in St. Louis, objected to that. And I want to say she got in contact with the producers of the movie and kind of gave them the business.
Well, yeah, there were a number of people that actually millions of people were disappointed with that. But unfortunately, millions of people believed that story. But it was really a character assassination. Annie Monroe was her name there, and she was characterized as a fair-skinned lady with straight hair, and also was a hater of Madam Walker. All of those things are untrue. And actually, that movie really stimulated me to really tell the hidden story of Annie Malone. So, yeah, it was a stimulus for me.
Yeah. Let's just, again, continue to talk about Annie Malone, because I don't want anybody out there to assume. We got a little bit of time. Annie Malone got her start in Peoria. She was a student at Central High School and eventually made her way to St. Louis. Help us understand, from a biographical standpoint, her journey to become a millionaire.
Well, Annie Malone was orphaned at an early age, Metropolis. From there, she moved here to Peoria, Illinois. She moved here with her sister, Ada, and later her sister, Laura, came. Ada was married to my great-grandfather, William, and that's who Annie Malone moved in with. Annie Malone was raised with my grandfather and my uncles and my aunt in the same house. And so this is how I got associated with Annie Malone, in the sense of finding, when I would go visit my grandparents, I would see these products. But I had no idea at that time who Annie Malone was. I didn't really find out who Annie Malone was until I got into my 40s after my grandmother died. My grandfather and my grandmother were the executive directors of Poro after Annie moved to Chicago to
and
try.
And Poro was her product name, yes. Kind of like Avon and Maybelline. Hers was called Poro.
Correct. Poro was a first cosmetology school, largest employer of African Americans in the country. Poro moved from St. Louis to Chicago, and this is when, unfortunately, Aunt Annie kind of took over her own business and didn't do too well with the books. And so the government came in, and this is where my uncles, my grandfather, my grandmother tried to help save the business.
Tell me more about Annie Malone then. How did she get to St. Louis?
Annie Malone, once she moved here, she there was a lady, we called her, this is my great-great-great-grandmother, known as Mother Moody. Mother Moody was a herbalist who helped Aunt Annie find the formulas from the herbs. Aunt Annie had an issue, they call it a coughing issue, probably was asthma, that didn't allow her to finish high school. So once she dropped out of high school, she spent a lot of time with Mother Moody. And Mother Moody was also a former slave. And I tell you, if you didn't know how to take care of yourself as a slave, you had to know your own stuff. So Mother Moody was highly skilled as an herbalist. And so she taught Aunt Annie how to incorporate the main ingredients from the herbs into her product. Once she developed a product, something that I just learned was that Annie Malone also had her first shop here in Peoria. I didn't know that. But when Aunt Annie was about 19 or 20, she moved to Lovejoy, established a Brooklyn, established her first business there, very, very small, one-room house she rented out. Got very famous there because she sold her products and got with the St. Louis World Fair at that point. Then her business started to really, really grow. She opened up another house, which is just a little house, her second Poro. Business continued to grow. Annie Malone was a marketing genius. And so 1918, 1917, she opened up the college, which was a five-story building, one of the biggest cosmetology colleges in the country.
And Dr. Trewick, that speaks to the first question, why this is important, because we're talking about the 19-teens, and you're talking about a black woman who has this thriving business, and the business has to do with hair care, edifying black women and black men in terms of their beauty, their self-esteem. You want to speak to that?
So that's one of the other reasons that she is important and why I was inspired by her, because she did something that was phenomenal during that time when black women didn't have that opportunity, women in general didn't have that opportunity, and she was able to overcome obstacles to become a successful entrepreneur. And so having that information to see that she achieved such greatness during a time when it was difficult for women, for African Americans in general, then that can inspire others in today's world and future generations, that if you have a dream or if you have a goal or you see a need that needs to be filled, then you can do it too with fewer obstacles than Annie Malone had. And so that's really the story that needs to be told, is how she was so successful. Starting from nothing, her parents were former slaves. And so if she's able to overcome the things she had to do, then we really don't have an excuse to be successful or follow our dreams in today's world and in the future.
And talk to me about the money that she made. That's significant also, because you're talking about being a millionaire in the 19-teens.
Right, yeah. And so the building was, I believe when it was finished, it was worth $750,000 at that time. In 1920, it was documented that she was worth $14 million. So having that type of wealth allowed her to give back and to become a philanthropist. And so she helped a lot of people within the St. Louis neighborhood. She helped her family. She was able to spread the wealth to reach back and pull up the next generation of African Americans and lay that foundation for them within the Ville neighborhood, which is our historically African American neighborhood in St. Louis.
What are some of the obstacles she faced? Racism, obviously, during those times. But what have you been able to find in your research about some of the obstacles that she faced?
Yeah, well, besides racism, sexism as well, with her being a woman and being on her own and going out and going from door to door being a businesswoman, that was often looked down upon too, because it was more safer for men to be businessmen and to go out and to make transactions. So just her being a woman, I think in the Midwest, it was probably more difficult too, although she moved to St. Louis because it was a larger population of African Americans and African American women. And so I just, from those two points, as far as her being an African American and being a woman, those were obstacles within itself. But then from a personal standpoint, not having other women in that area or not being able to see if she was the first, the pioneer in African-American hair care. She didn't have mentors. She didn't really have people that could help her, to guide her, to train her. She did everything on her own.
She was a pioneer, a true pioneer.
Exactly. She paved the way for Madam C.J. Walker and all of the others that have come behind her. And so looking at that, you know, like my chair at my university, he told me, he said, it's never easy for a pioneer. And so all types of obstacles. She, you know, she was sickly as a young child, too. So she had to overcome different illnesses to be as successful as she was. So it was pretty much like, I'm just going to go for it. No, nothing can hold me back. And that's pretty much what happened.
We want to remind our listeners, this is Dollars and Cents on WPNV. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank better. And we're very pleased to have in our studio our dear friend Egbara Bryson, a descendant from Annie Malone, America's first black female millionaire. Also along with him, videographer Ben Shulley and Dr. Shawana Trywick. They are all embarking on a documentary on the life of Annie Malone. And Ben, I'm always curious, because as a videographer, from your perspective, what you've been able to envision for this documentary as a storyteller, what do you hope people will come away with when they see this final product?
So when Chawana and I first started talking about this project, I thought it was, you know, first of all, amazing that we had an authority on this history on faculty at Lindenwood University, and the idea that we could collaborate on this project was exciting. But I think you're always sort of looking for what's the hook, right? Like, what's the question that the viewer is really going to be wanting to find out? And when I found out more about this, I mean, I grew up in St. Louis, and as a kid, like, I'd heard about the Annie Malone Parade. I knew there was an Annie Malone Children's Home. I didn't know anything more, right? It was kind of like a historical dead end for me. And in this case, it's an interesting study in how a really important historical icon can become lost to history, how their legacy can kind of become misplaced. And actually, in this case, even eventually maligned, as you mentioned earlier. And I think, to me, that's the hook. And that's like the really compelling part of the story. And even that's even like the force that drives us to tell the story, is that we want to reclaim that historical legacy and put her where she deserves to be.
What have you been able to find in terms of memorabilia that stick out to you?
So that's probably Chawana's territory, because she's been doing a lot of research on this. So she's more than a decade into this topic. And it's interesting, because at first she was feeling also like, okay, you know, this is kind of a dead end. Like, there's not really that much out there. But then the more she dug, the more she was able to come up with just like troves of stuff that people had saved. It's just that it wasn't valued necessarily
stuff
the way it should
like
have
what?
Been.
Just different documents, artifacts, like little booklets. One of the main things is this little booklet. It's a leather-bound booklet. It has a business card holder in the back, and it's gold embossed on the front. And so that was actually given to me by my mentor, Dr. John Wright Sr. He also has a letter case that Mr. Bryson has as well. It's a leather letter case and embossed with the Poro College logo on the front. Newspaper clippings, buttons from the actual conventions. I've seen...
What kinds of conventions?
So she would have annual Poro College conventions where all of the ages would come together, and it would be like what we would have as our regular conferences now. And so that would happen throughout the year. So seeing those different program booklets, they would sometimes have little buttons for them during those conventions as well.
You were going to say something, Akbar.
Oh, well, it's a different subject. But in addition to that, I would just share. We actually have the actual house where she lived at in Peoria. We'll try to visit the high school, but they're closed. But those brochures and things of the conventions, my grandparents left from 1947 to 1973. All of those conventions with the graduates. We have some of the curling irons, buttons, pictures from Aaron, and postcards from Aaron and Annie to her sister.
Who is Aaron?
Was Annie Malone's husband, Aaron Malone. So we have those postcards. We have letters that were sent after the divorce.
Well, so Malone was her married name.
Correct.
So her maiden name was what, Turnbull?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
And also have some documents and things on Annie Malone was a very deep person. Secret societies she had. Also have documentations on. She started her own sorority. So I have tons of things, a lot of information, a lot of letters, a lot of pictures.
You mentioned some dates, 47 and that kind of thing. How long did the Annie Malone dynasty or era or business run go for? From what period to when?
Yeah, so what we have from 1902 is when she came to St. Louis. So from 1902 to 1930, she was in St. Louis, Missouri. And then 1930, she moved to Chicago, Illinois. And from my understanding, she was in business to the latter end before she passed away in 1957.
She was in business long after that also, because that's when my grandparents and my uncles... kind of, they were the executive directors of Poro in the 50s, and the building was sold in 1992. So she did have a duration, although during that time also there was a lot of legal battles going on with the government.
Well, didn't she at one point sue Madam C.J. Walker or...
Well, or vice versa. Well. What happened is that I was going to add that to another challenge that she was facing. Because of the what Madam C.J. Walker is what helped develop the first copyright, and that was against Madam C.J. Walker. And there were other imitators who were imitating the Poro product and those kind of things. There was also a lot of people who were attempting to sue her. She also had employees who were suing her, a lot of haters that were going on. So in addition, COVID, they had the Spanish flu. There was the Great Depression. That was another issue. There was the, I don't know if you're familiar.
There was a world war, a couple world wars, that kind of
1917,
thing.
1917, the soldiers coming back. There was the East St. Louis riots. There was Ku Klux Klan active in that area. There were some political things going on that were trying to undermine her with purchasing the college, and even after that, sabotaging. So there were a number of things. In addition to all of these schools she had across the country, she only could travel limited places. You know, we saw the movie The Green Book. She had one because there was only certain places that she could go and feel safe. So there were a number of things that were going on.
And so, Ben, in documenting all of that, you're looking at different decades, different eras, and the challenges that each posed.
Yeah, I think that the story of anyone's life is so complex and so deep that, you know, even when you make a documentary, you know, you like to say, okay, we're going to make a, you know, 60 or 90 minute film that's going to take a much deeper dive into something than a 5 minute news story might be able to. But even with that time, I think that it's a real challenge to put together all the nuances and all the different sort of experiences that someone goes through. So that's our challenge, honestly. And I don't know exactly how we're going to do it all.
Yeah. We're running out of time, and I've been asking you all a lot of questions. Anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't get a chance to talk to? I'll start with Egbar.
Well, what I hope to see that comes from all this, is more collaboration. It's a pleasure meeting her. I want to connect that St. Louis legacy. I want to connect the Chicago legacy. And then I want to connect all the legacies throughout the state. One of the things I would like to see is Annie Malone Center for Development, kind of like what you have here, Gary, but have the artifacts, the documents, have people come in from all over the country. I'd like to see an Annie Malone Day. I would like to see an Annie Malone Luncheon. I would like to see hair care and cosmetologists and barber have an annual shows that come in, and just a thrust on going back and re-examining the hair care business and coming up with a business strategy on how can we reclaim that along with her story, particularly the Peoria connection.
I'm glad you mentioned that. And yeah, we are located, our radio station is inside the Minority Business Development Center, and you know what we're about. Mm-hmm. Here is encouraging African-American entrepreneurs and small business owners in terms of writing a business plan, finding a good location, mm-hmm. marketing their mm-hmm. business, getting financing for their business, and ensuring their success. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a perfect marriage between what we do mm-hmm. and what you're saying as far as Annie Malone's legacy. As we have a picture of Annie Malone in our incubator space mm-hmm. that you gave us, mm-hmm. just to let people know this was America's first Black female millionaire, mm-hmm. and she came out of Peoria. Mm-hmm. To your point about Black hair care and that industry, the African-American hair care business, I want to say, for the most part, is not run by African-Americans.
Yes.
Am I right?
Right,
that's correct.
And it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yes.
And it's been taken over by another ethnic group. Mm-hmm. And so it actually started with us because no one else knew how to take care of our hair but Annie Malone, who pioneered the black hair care industry.
Mm-hmm. So. Ben?
Any last words? I think for me, you know, when I think about the idea, you know, of being a storyteller and having a real person's life that is your, you know, that's your story that you're telling, I think there's a tremendous responsibility, and I think we see that all the more because of the fact that this Netflix series, you know, came out and honestly, I think took a lot of liberties. And so, you know, we have that same sense of like the weight of being entrusted with this story, and we're just very grateful for all the cooperation, for all the support that we're getting from the people who are the guardians of her legacy.
And Dr. Trywick, you get the last word.
All right, so I want to bring more awareness of Annie Malone to St. Louis. We do have the Annie Malone Children and Family Services, and we also have the Annie Malone Historical Society. But we still don't have that one place that people can come to and say, this is the history, the life and legacy of Annie Malone, with all of the historical artifacts and those people there that can tell about her history. So like Mr. Bryson, what he's saying, I also want to have in St. Louis to leave that legacy of Annie Malone.
And I'd just like to add something on the Riverfront Museum has really been gracious and a pioneer with allowing us to display Annie Malone artifacts and exhibit. And I think just as Mr. Moore said, just over the weekend, had 2,000 people to show up there. But not only that, but August 26th, I just want to make everyone aware, August 26th, from 2 to 3, maybe 4 o'clock, we're having Annie Malone dedication, and you'll be invited, as well as a book signing. We're anticipating the Annie Malone documentary will be completed and shown on a big screen at the museum. So we have big things planned to go forward with this. So I just want to invite everyone to come down. If you're not doing anything or you want to visit, please do go to the exhibit or contact me, and I'll send you an invitation.
All right. Dr. Shawana Trawick, Ben Charley, and Akbar Bryson. Hey, thanks for being on Dollars and Cents.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFHUE, not a bank better. Dollars and Cents airs at 9 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 6:30 p.m. Sunday. Thanks again for listening. Money, 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 money. Yeah.